Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Today we're going to play Tom Brady's first press conference as a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I personally won't listen.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's conference call to introduce Buccaneers QB Tom Brady.
That's the thing that makes it real.
I obviously have a ton of trust and respect for Coach Arians.
But it's real. 12 o'clock, it's real.
Congrats on signing with Tampa Bay and starting your new journey down there. Robert Kraft did several interviews stating that this was really what you wanted, that leaving New England was what you wanted.
Again, I'm not responsible for, you know, how other people, you know, will say certain things. Mr. Kraft has, you know, been a great insight for, you know, this opportunity that I have. I'm just excited to get started.
This does conclude the conference call to introduce Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady. You may now disconnect your lines, and everyone have a great day.
Right now.
I guarantee you somebody went out and got a blow dryer.
Or what?
Free donut with that, too?
I get it.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF. I just want to warn Wiggy because he said, I heard him this morning, he said he did not want to listen to the Tom Brady.
We're going
to
play it.
Press conference. We're going to play it in a couple minutes, Wiggy. So please shut the radio off. Nobody else shut the radio off. Just Wiggy.
Do you think Tom Brady is a $30 million guy here?
I do. But he didn't get that. He got $25 million. It's amazing when you start talking about this, and we've been talking about the coronavirus and where we go from here. And it's amazing. You talked about social media, Christian. Unbelievable how people are reacting to what we're saying. I don't think people are... They're so set in certain ways, they're not even hearing the conversation. They're not hearing it. Nobody is sitting there saying that everybody should just go back to work on Monday. Nobody's saying that. Nobody's saying that it's going to be the same.
Be clear.
Right.
Right.
I don't think they should.
It's true because, you know, again, like I tweeted out, like, Nancy Pelosi actually saying that none of her asks, you know, everything that she asked for in their bill had everything to do with coronavirus. Had nothing to do with anything else, including the early voting mandated in every state, same day election, airline commission offset among to be carbon neutral by 2025, including the subsidizing retirement plan of newspaper employees. All that stuff had to do with coronavirus. So I just simply tweeted out, do you believe her? I believe her more than anything Trump ever says. That's not the question. Do you believe her? Trump's an idiot. Do you believe what she said? Like that's all. Listen, Trump, fine. You know what? Trump's an idiot. Do you believe what she said? Well, I would vote for her before Trump. That's not the question. The question is, do you believe that early day voting mandated in every single state has something to do with COVID-19?
Two very big words.
The same day election have anything to do with coronavirus? Why is that in the bill? The JFK, what how much money do they want to give that?
A performing arts center.
Performing arts center. What is that going to do with COVID-19?
It doesn't. No, and the Republicans they're throwing out the package to save all of the businesses out there, but they're funneling it all through the Treasury Secretary, who apparently is going to make the decisions on who gets it. And I don't blame Democrats for sitting there and being skeptical and saying, you know what? Trump's going to be able to funnel it to the companies he wants. How about the Trump resorts? Maybe they're going to get some of it. I don't blame them for feeling that way. That's the problem. We have two sides of the aisle, and they're never going to meet. And if they don't meet, we're all screwed. But you're right, Lou. That's what happens. People are overreacting. What we were saying is there has to be a time, certainly a time period, in which we start to work our way back to normal. We're not going to get back to normal for a long time. But if we don't start, if we're in complete lockdown for 6 or 8 months, Where is this country after that? Where are all these young people in the next generation? Where are they after all of that? It's not like we're going to suddenly 6 or 8 months from now say, okay, Monday, next Monday, we're going all back to work. Everybody's good. Everybody's cool. It doesn't work that way. You know, you've done so much damage. I don't know how you get back to all of that.
Speaking of damage.
What did you
Brady,
just do?
No. I was like, speaking of damage, Brady
did no damage today.
He did some damage control and loves damage everybody. To some hearts. I think some hearts were. I don't think you felt Karen Garigian. You didn't feel better about the situation if you were one of those hardcore believers that Brady wasn't leaving. You didn't feel better about it. Like there wasn't no closure. There wasn't any closure for you, right?
Well, he hardly talked about New England. He was more talking about how he's looking forward and not looking in the rearview mirror, and it's all about the Buccaneers and being a member of the Buccaneers. But if you're a Patriot fan, didn't you expect that? I mean, once he was gone and he's in their uniform, what do you think? You think next year he's going to sit there in interviews after games and talk about the Patriots?
He'll never mention the Patriots again other than he had a great time there, but he won't talk about the coach, he won't talk about being mad, angry, hurt.
I think that's disappointing because I think what we're going to get over the next few months is we're going to get the behind-the-scenes stories. I would guess that Tommy Curran is due for one. Jeff Darlington is due for one. Others are due for one. And Tom Brady, on the other hand, is going to go in front of the podium or in front of the telephones and say all wonderful things about Bill Belichick and Jonathan and Robert. And yet you're going to be reading maybe the truth behind the curtain, right?
I think we kind of already know. I think all the news, what more do you need to know? If you can't connect the dots based on the last 2 months or last 2 years, then you're not following clean.
See, and one thing that did not happen that we expected, right, was we were trying to figure out, okay, when this thing happens, the whole Wes Welker thing. Well, we offered Tom more than that. Well, we offered Tom a similar deal. Like, we don't have that because there's no offer really made, only the offer back in the summer the year before. Now, there's conflicting reports. Jeff Ho says that it was 2 years, 53. I don't know, and even he admits that, the devil's in the details. We don't know how much was guaranteed, whatever, right? Or even there was a real extension. Nobody really believes it was any kind of guaranteed dollars for a two-year deal. So you don't – the Patriots really – there was no offer. So there's that stuff, that's something we thought would linger for a while. Like, what was the Patriots' deal? And then the Brady side would have to come back and say, no, it wasn't guaranteed. That never happened. I think all the details are out there. Robert tried to clean it up PR-wise. We know what happened. Their side says that Brady never went to them for an offer. The guy's the free agent. He's the free agent. You're the team. Most teams go after free agents. They don't expect free agents to come after them. So, I mean, it is what it is. You have your opinion now on how this thing went down. I don't know if there's many more details to come out.
There's going to be more coming out because it's too good a story. And Brady won't say anything, and we know Belichick is not going to say a damn thing. And so there's too much there, below the surface. And so, yeah, I think we're going to see stuff. I heard people talking in the last couple of days because was it Jeff Darlington or somebody added, oh, no, it was the Wickersham thing, which to me was an old story talking about a fight that the two of them have got into, Belichick and Brady, like in 2018. I mean, it was old news, and yet people were reacting like it was brand new information. So you're right. It's probably going to be a rehash of more of the same, but I don't think people are going to move on. Brady wants to move on. It was pretty obvious by this teleconference today. He wants to move on. He's a Tampa Bay Buck now. He wants to move on. But I think there's going to be a lot more that's going to pop up here in the next couple of months. So here it is. If you missed it earlier today, a little condensed version of it, the stuff that probably is more important to Patriot fans. Tom Brady making his first appearance before the microphones with the media as a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Hi, guys. Thank you very much. I appreciate you taking the time today. This is it's an exciting moment for me in my life. This entering something that's obviously very unique to me is it's the first time it's happened in 20 years. So I'm kind of taking it day by day. The expectation for me is to come in and do what, I feel is, right for, the organization. That's to be a great team player. And I'm going to try to do everything I can to get up to speed with all the things that I need to do and what my responsibilities are
I obviously have a ton of trust and respect in, for Coach Arians, you know, for what Jason and what he's done to build the team and organization as is now. And, you know, I'm thankful to the Glazer family to give me an opportunity. As I said the other day, I look forward to meeting all my teammates and just doing everything I can to, you know, for us to achieve what we set out. And there's a lot of things that go into it. You know, as soon as we can get those things going, you know, the greater will be for everybody. But understanding the circumstance of what we're dealing with, that's we're in a little different approach and we have to adjust, as is, that's what happens in football and in life. And that's what my plan is.
Hey, Tom, congrats on signing with Tampa Bay and starting your new journey down there.
Thanks,
have
Ben.
Have a question about your leaving New England, your departure here. Robert Kraft did several interviews the other day or whenever that was when you left, stating that this was really what you wanted, that leaving New England was what you wanted, and that if you had wanted to come back to the Patriots, that they would have made a deal happen, but that you leaving and you wanting to start elsewhere was what you wanted to do. Would you agree with that assessment?
Well, again, I'm not responsible for, you know, how other people, you know, will say certain things. I think Mr. Kraft has, you know, been a great influence in my life, and I'm so grateful for, you know, 2 decades, you know, you know, I referenced that the other day. It's been an amazing thing for my family, and I'm sure when I'm done playing, I'll look back and have a chance to really reevaluate, you know, my entire career. But, you know, at the same time, I'm excited for, you know, this opportunity that I have. You know, I can only speak to how I feel. You know, I wrote about that in my social media the other day. You know, this was getting to be a free agent and, you know, having the opportunity to join the Bucks was something that I was really excited about. And that's where we're at, where we're at. That's why we're at where we're at.
Were you disappointed that the Patriots maybe didn't make more of an effort to bring you back or maybe show some more appreciation given all you've accomplished for the team?
No, I have a great deal of respect for, you know, there's nobody who's been a bigger fan of the Patriots than me. So I have nothing but total respect and love. And, you know, I'm so grateful to Mr. Kraft and the organization and Coach Belichick and all the coaches and obviously all my teammates. It's been a lot of days responding to a lot of incredible text messages from my teammates, from former teammates, from just a lot of the great people that I've got to meet over the years. And I have so many great relationships that, you know, will be maintained. And, you know, that's, I think, the greatest gift that football has brought me is the relationships that I've had with so many of the people I've worked with. So it'll be certainly different. But at the same time, you know, that's the way life can be at times. And what won't be different is my approach to the game, my approach to what my roles and responsibilities are. And I'm going to go out and do the best I can every day to put our team in a position to win.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Hey, Jared. Good, Jared. Good talking to you.
Yeah, a couple things. Obviously, like you said, it's a difficult time in our nation. And you put that against the context of this being such a new thing for you as well. How would you describe how the pandemic is affecting your personal life, your family life, and what you're having to deal with in regards to that?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's, you know, logistical things that are happening that, you know, are, you know, not just for me, for everyone dealing with, you know, everyone's going through their lives in a different way right now, and there's still a lot of change happening, and you just got to try to manage it as best possible. So, you know, everyone seems to be in different locations, but I think the important part is everyone's trying to make it work, and everyone's trying to figure out how to adjust and adapt to some new realities that we're all facing. So, you know, you've seen a lot of these other leagues that have been canceled, delayed. You know, we as football players, you know, there's aspects of our off season that have changed, and I'm sure will change to a degree, but that doesn't stop me from figuring out what I've got to do in my professional life to try to still, you know, learn the things I need to learn and train the way I need to train. And, you know, because as far as I know, you know, there's nothing that's, you know, delayed the start of our season at this point. And, you know, I've got to do everything I can to be prepared as I would in a off season where we weren't dealing with what we're dealing with. So, again, I'm just, I'm not making any predictions about that. I'm just going to take it day to day with how I'm doing, and I'm going to try to, you know, learn the things I need to learn. And, you know, it's just there's not going to, you know, one day at a time is a cliche, but in my, it's definitely not a cliche in the way that I'm trying to live my life right now. So it's just been a new reality for all of us.
Hey, Tom, also, you know, I know Joe Montana was your guy when you were growing up. How did it strike you as a fan of his to see him leave the 49ers after so many years? And in what ways do you relate to how Joe finished his career with another team after so many years with the 49ers?
I was at Joe's last game at Candlestick Park. I actually went up there and saw it with my friend, and I'll never forget that. So he was an incredible player. He and Steve Young were my quarterback idols growing up. And, you know, I just think life, you know, it continues to change for all of us. And, you know, just having the opportunity for me to continue to play football and, you know, lead a team is something that, you know, I love doing. And I've loved playing the sport since I was a kid, since I was throwing footballs in the parking lot at Candlestick. And I still love doing that today. And, you know, I train hard. I try to keep my body as, you know, physically fit as possible. Mentally, I try to stay sharp, although it's going to be a different challenge this year in learning. But, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to do the best I possibly can. And I'm just excited to, you know, to embrace this opportunity and see it for what it is, which is, you know, a lot of guys that, you know, have been a part of this team that, you know, they want to be the best they can be, and they want to achieve, you know, the highest goal. And I've been very fortunate to be a part of that. And there's no way to do it, and you can't talk your way into it. It's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of commitment. And it's a lot of people that are just aligned trying to do the right thing. So, again, I don't know when our first, you know, OTA will be, but I'm sure there'll be a lot of guys that, you know, I'm excited to meet. And, you know, I'm going to try to get the best out of myself and try to get the best out of them. And, you know, it's all going to be dependent on, you know, the guys in this, you know, in the building, in the facility to, you know, to make it happen.
Hi, Tom. Congratulations.
Thanks, Karen. I'm going to miss you.
I'll miss you too. When in your mind did you officially cut the cord with the Patriots, and how hard was it to tell Robert and the Patriots you were moving on?
It was really, you know, the night that I had stopped by and seen, I spoke with Mr. Kraft and asked if I could come over and see him. And we spoke and we had a great conversation, you know, and I just wanted to express, you know, what he's meant to me in my life. And we spoke with Coach Belichick at the same time. We were at different locations, so we talked to him, and it was a great conversation. And got a chance to talk to Jonathan Kraft as well. And, you know, all three of those guys have been involved in so many important decisions in my life, but career-related, personal-related. You know, I leave there with just great admiration for the people in that organization, and it's a world-class, first-class organization in every way, and I wanted to leave it that way too. So I know the Patriots have a great team. They always do. They have great players, great leadership, great coaches. You know, I certainly wish them the best, but for me, you know, I've got to transition and focus on the opportunity that I have to, you know, make the current situation I'm in as best I possibly can. And, you know, they hired me to do a job here, and I'm going to go in there and do it like you've always seen me do for a long time, like, you know, the fans have always seen me do, like, opposing coaches, my teammates have seen me do, and I'm going to give it everything I got like I've done everything in my life for as long as I've been playing this sport.
Hey, Tom, just pretty straightforward question here. What would it have taken for you to stay in New England?
Well, you know, again, I don't want to talk about the past because that's not relevant to what's, you know, important in my, you know, future and what's going on this offseason for me. And like I said, I had nothing but two decades of an incredible experience and learning from some of the best players and the best coaches and the ownership of the team. you know, I think for all of us, you know, things in life can change, and you got to be able to adapt and evolve. With each of those changes become different opportunities to learn and grow, and that's where I'm at. And, you know, anytime you leave somewhere, it's very emotional, and I've had my, you know, it's been, you know, the transition, would say, I would say, is very emotional with a lot of guys that I've talked to that I've shared the field with, because, you know, the relationships are what matter most to me. You know, I'm going to be friends with my teammates, my former teammates and coaches for the rest of my life. And that's not going to leave just because I'm wearing a different jersey. But at the same time, for me, the new jersey I'm wearing, you know, I'm prepared to give them the every bit of commitment that I've had my entire career to be the best I could be, to help this team be the best it could be. And I did say there's not one person that, you know, that makes a team. It's every single person doing their job every day that's committed and determined to be the best. You know, I'm a very disciplined, you know, quarterback. I try to, you know, follow through on, you know, the things that I'm committed to, and I try to work every day to be the best I could be, and that's what I'm going to try to push my teammates to do. I'm just excited to get started.
All right, somebody call Wiggy. Tell him he can turn the radio back on. Tom Brady is done. That was his teleconference here today. And it was all sweet. There was no blood. There was no nastiness. And you want to know something? I get the feeling we're not going to hear from Belichick, even though people will ask him the question. And then the next time that they're around each other, they'll not only be cordial, but if we're back to a near normal society, there might even be handshakes or hugs. Or certainly when they both go into the Hall of Fame, it's all going to happen, right? I mean,
Bill's got a built-in excuse for the handshake at the end of the game.
Yeah, he does.
He doesn't even have to do it anymore.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, if he loses, he'd be like, yeah, sorry. You know, forget about that. No,
60 feet, right? Oh, no, it's 6 feet? Oh, I'm sorry.
So what stood out to you the most in that? I mean, was there anything from any of the questions from any of the guys that stood out to you the most?
That he really misses Karen Garigian.
That's one of them. That was my number one. What's your number two?
I would say the other one was that we learned a little bit more about the meeting with Kraft. I don't buy that he claims that that's when he realized that he was out and he was over and he was going to move on. You don't go and tell Kraft you're out and done unless you've got a deal. And as we learned from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they didn't even know until Wednesday night at like 9 o'clock at night. So that didn't happen. And so I'm not sure I buy that, but we did learn that at that meeting, they apparently pulled up a video screen or audio, and they actually had a conversation with Belichick and with Jonathan, right? So that was the only new part that we learned today.
Yeah. And so I think one of the interesting things, because Jeff Howell pointed it out, you know, and I think that answer, as far as when did you find out that you were leaving, in your own mind, when did you cut the cord? And he talked about going over to the house. And Jeff Howell poses this question. Now, I think it's an interesting thought. I don't necessarily believe it. I think his mind was made up before he went to that house. But Jeff Howell writes, reading into Brady's response, it uncovered another question. If that meeting was indeed when he determined he was leaving the Patriots, was Brady hoping Kraft and Belichick would present another offer? Was it one long staring contest? So did Brady really drive over there and say, you know what, I think I'm leaving? Unless when I walk in, Robert Kraft says, okay, look, this is the two-year deal we have right now to present to you. And when he walked in and found out that wasn't happening, he decided right then and there he was leaving. I find that extremely hard to believe. That's the one part that I think he's just trying to deflect. You knew what he was going to say. He wasn't going to throw any shade in this organization. And I think he knew that. He might have even... Truth serum, he might have known the year before when he worked out that deal that he was out of here. This is his last year.
August.
To me, like, and you guys tell me, I know that the Patriots, sorry, Bill, had a conversation, and I don't know if it was Brady or Brady's camp. It was Brady's people. I feel like it was Brady's people. Like, it was his agent. It was Don Yee. I don't know if it was Brady calling up Bill saying, hey, buddy, what's up? What are you up to? Hey, you got a quick second to, you know, kind of, you know, talk about my contract? I don't think that happened. So the first time that Brady talks to Bill since the season ended is when he's calling to say goodbye. That's it. So and listen, and he's surprised by it. He's not even in the room. Linda's got to go call him. Bill, will you? I'm in the bathroom. Like Bill's in the bathroom. Like he doesn't mind. I'll take a message. Like is that what it is? Is that what we're talking? That to me is odd. But it isn't. If you believe that they were done the year before the season even, if you believe that they were done before last season even started, you shouldn't be surprised.
Guys, by the way, I know we just replayed that. Like you said, you know, you wanted to warn Jermaine Wiggins, who said he refuses to listen to it. Yep. He actually responded to us with a video.
I know you guys are about to play at OMF, but I can't listen to the Brady sound, man. It's real now. Plus, I got to train the young pups. You know, if we ever get football back, they got to be ready to go. Still can't believe he's gone. I can't listen to it. I just can't do it, Mike. I can't do it, Mike.
That was it. Wigs out. He couldn't do it. Couldn't listen.
I can't do it, Mike.
Nope.
What's he doing out of his house? Get back in your house. What are you doing? You're not supposed to play football, flag football. You're not supposed to. I see your kids working out in the background, Wiggy. What are you doing? Shelter in.
It was only like 3 weeks ago. He was going through hospitals trying to find people with the coronavirus. Maybe
he didn't believe it.
And actually passed it to the entire country. I don't know. I don't know how you could not, whether you're a Patriot fan or not, watch this thing or listen to this thing today. And everybody ran it nationally. ESPN had it live. Everybody had it live. We had it live, obviously. But he's not going to go there. And Bill's not going to go there either. I mean, if anybody asked the question to Bill, he's not going to answer the questions. So we're all moving on right now. I don't know if people are ready in New England to move on, but what other choice do you have? You're moving on. They're going to show the new uniforms here in another week down there. Oh, apparently, the Patriots are showing slightly altered uniforms as well. But they're going to show new uniforms, and they'll have Tom wearing the new uniform.
This is what everybody finally needs, even though it should be closure, but it won't be because you'll be jealous. You'll be envious when you see him, you know, high-fiving other players on the Bucks, hugging Bruce Arians, hugging Brian Leftwich. You'll be jealous when they make the playoffs and he goes to the NFC Championship game. And he thanks the Tampa Bay Buck fans. Oh my God! Go. What is this? When he runs out of the tunnel, whatever it is,
he's already doing it.
Let's go!
It's not about Bucks Nation now. It's not about Patriots anymore. He's not going to sit there and do that. So Patriot fans who have had 20 years of that are not going to hear any more of that admiration and love in their direction. So anytime he's on social media, people are still following him, right? So if you follow him on social media, everything he does is going to be about the Tampa Bay Bucks.
I wonder if all those guys down in Tampa who cover the Tampa, who are like the beat reporters for the Tampa Bay Times or whatever, I wonder if they realize their next step is hosting some show at ESPN. Do they know that? Because that's a feeder ground now. Everyone's going to be paying attention. I saw O.J. Howard, tight end for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, young kid out of Alabama, being interviewed nationally. Like, this guy has not gotten this much attention since he left Alabama or since he was playing at Alabama. The whole team is going to benefit from this. All of them.
Let me see if I can get Lou excited. According to Jim McBride of the Globe, he's usually pretty good at this. The Patriots have just re-signed one of their players.
Who's that?
Shalik Calhoun has re-signed with the New England Patriots.
Yay. Is he one of the guys that Bill traded for before the year and never played?
He was in some packages.
Oh, he was?
Okay. Played some special teams last year.
Oh, special teams.
Shalik Calhoun.
He's going to still try to win on those fluky special teams touchdowns.
And like Devin McCourty, he said, nobody's believing in us. You know, we're going to win next year.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be a great year. It's nothing like having a chip on your shoulder and going 10-6. I'll show you. We'll go 9-7. You know what? Take that, you naysayers. We're 9-7, and we may get a wild card.
Nine and seven might be pretty good for them, right?
Yeah, and you just wonder how many times you can go to the well. We mentioned this before. Devin McCourty's article in Players Tribune, A New England. He says at one point towards the end of it, people are going to say that because Tom's gone, the dynasty's over. They're already burying us, far as I can tell, and that's fine. Let them. We've never listened to noise, and we're not going to start now. I mean, how many times do you keep going to that well? We've been there last year, right? I mean, what was it, in January when the Patriots, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady don't lose to an AFC opponent at home. They just don't. Look at the history. It's the Patriots. How many times can you keep going to the well? They got pounded by the Titans. Derrick Henry ran right through them. Like, I love Devin McCourty, but, you know, this whole thing of, like, you know, keep betting against us. We're going to hear from Julian Edelman, too. Does it carry any weight to anybody anymore?
This is going
to
be really tough for
Jules. Keep betting against us. Okay. Oh, as a matter of fact, I will. I'm going to bet the under.
This is going to be tough.
I'm going to bet the under. Yeah, with a lot.
Because he's now going to have to come out, and instead of just following what Tom does, he's now going to have to come out and be the cocky one. right? He's going to be the one that comes out and says, everybody's proving it, you know, not believing in us. Let me go to Tyler. Tyler's in Milton. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
What's up, man?
I'm just, like, this is my opinion, but I think, like, based on Tom Brady's tone, I think he went to Kraft's house that last night just to, you know, call their bluff one more time, try to see if they can, you know, work out one more deal. And it just didn't go there. It didn't go his way. So he was like, you know what? Screw that. I'm just going to go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
Oh, God. That is such a weak attempt at what happened. Is that it?
Well, that's what Jeff Howe's thinking. Maybe one last time to kind of go there and be like, hey, I'm coming over. You have a contract? You going to make one last effort? Because I'm 5 minutes from telling you I'm leaving. I'll give you 5 minutes.
This
five
was
minutes.
A breakup. This
Jonathan!
Was, this was, this was the...
Come downstairs. Tom's here.
I'm combing my hair.
He's a grown adult, and he doesn't live with his father, okay? I don't believe that. You know what?
It was a courtesy drop.
Yes. The more you hear, the more respects almost. I do believe the people that say that this thing became untenable back in August. And let's look at this past season. So we all admit that he didn't have enough weapons. Do you think he was nice and kind about it? We talked to you. You had heard, and others heard, Christian, that maybe he and Josh were having a little issue. Well, what do you think the Patriots, what do you think Josh and Bill were saying week to week? Okay, I know we don't have the weapons, but Tom, instead of bitching, instead of sitting there and saying I'm the most miserable 8-0 quarterback in the league, what you need to do is you need to find other ways in which you can help us win right now. That's what they were doing. And he's sitting at it, maybe feeling sorry for himself, sitting there going, they didn't get me the weapons. And so I didn't think the relationship was going to getting any better.
Yeah, you let him go.
Yeah. From last August, it wasn't going to get any better.
Yeah. They brought in, they drafted a wide receiver in the first round. They brought in Mohamed Sanu, and they brought in Antonio Brown. What else do you? What else do you want him to do?
Remember, eight.
You know, he wasn't going to be happy under any circumstances, right. So it wouldn't matter. He was done. He was done, no matter what.
I don't give him credit for bringing in Antonio Brown.
Let's see how it goes in Tampa Bay, boys, because I'm not sure it's going to go as great as he thinks it is. And he may be looking back at this a year from now and saying, what the hell did I do?
Or he can maybe back and look back in a year from now and sit there and say, see, I told everybody I can still play football. And he didn't put any weapons around me. The only reason why he brought Antonio Brown is because he got released. You didn't plan on it. You took every single freaking weapon I had to throw to, and you stripped me of it the last 2 years.
We're going
to
find out.
And now look at me.
We're all going to find out in the next year. All right, 617-779-7937. We come back to you with more of OMF next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Back to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
We talked a lot about the coronavirus, and it's kind of interesting, and I'm not sure I buy into it, but Pete Abes has got a story. Have you guys seen this today? Pete Abes has got a story?
Yeah,
I have. Yeah. I can just tell your reaction just by the way the sound of your voice. So apparently MLB still hasn't concluded whether the 2018 Red Sox illegally stole signs, but the investigation is continuing on. So how long do we continue on? Because if you're going to do this in your MLB and you want to hide it, and the whole world is shut down right now, wouldn't this be the perfect time to throw it out there and say, yeah, they cheated?
I kind of look at this as the way I look at instant replay. You know, I mean, you look at it for 10, 15, 20 seconds, and if you're not sure, you can't change the call, right? How long have you been looking at this investigation? Do you believe two industry sources said that they haven't even reached a conclusion whether they cheated or not?
I don't believe that. Jesus.
Like, it's been, it was like, I remember it was 64, 65 days, like 2 or 3 weeks ago. It was longer than the Astros investigation.
62 days for that one.
So first off, I do believe that they have a conclusion. I don't believe this report at all, because how can you not? How can you not come up with a conclusion at this point? You're approaching, I don't even know, 80-something days?
So, and I would also say there's, you know, you could talk to people all over the phone, Skype, FaceTime, Zoom.
Yeah, this was,
I mean,
easy.
You should be able to figure it out by now. And the other thing is, it's a perfect time to release it. Nobody's doing anything. Just let us know.
Oh, no, the perfect time.
Because you know what? Because here's the other thing I was thinking of.
It's not.
And I hate to say this, but you know who benefited from this coronavirus? You know
who's
one of the teams? The Astros. The Astros. All we were doing was just beating up the Astros on a regular basis. And I was sitting there going, I was like, holy crap. The Astros, by the time baseball comes back, no one's going to be petty. And slider.
But here's
no
the reason.
No one's going to be talking about the Astros and what they did.
But here's the reason why I don't think it's a good time to release it. Because I think given the attention that the Houston Astros got at a time when, you know, it wasn't any baseball, it was spring training, it was all over the media, but, you know, football season's over with, the basketball and NHL, or NBA and NHL are sort of in that, hey, let's hurry up and get to the postseason. It was sort of like a dead time. So the only thing to talk about was a Major League Baseball scandal. That was the only thing out there. That was a big story at the time, and everybody was talking about it. The reason why I think they were waiting till right before opening day, and it probably would have come out here recently or just today or tomorrow, was they were hoping that other sports, or the playoffs are starting, NFL free agency is going on. People would be talking about their opening days and getting ready for baseball itself. There would have been other stories on the table for them to discuss, not another scandal in baseball. You come out with it now, guess what? All we're going to talk about is another scandal in baseball. And I don't think they want the attention. I think they're trying to drop it when everything is going on. This is the worst thing that could have happened to them.
I know, but it just at least get it over with. Be done with it. So we talk about that for a week and a half. Big deal. The coronavirus will still take over. I mean, and how many more? So let's just say it comes out right now. No. We talk about it tomorrow and we talk about it Thursday. And then what? Like, nothing. That's it. It's over with. No, none of the players are getting heckled. Nobody's getting beamed. And when the season starts, people and players will be so happy that the season is back. There's no way they'll allow themselves to be so petty and vindictive. That's just a bad look. So you suffered all this time, and the first thing you're going to do is heckle the players and bring up nasty signs? No, they won't do it.
So you don't think so? Forgotten. The first time, the first game that comes back, everyone's just happy baseball's back.
Yes.
Right? Sports are back.
Sunshine,
everybody
lollipops.
Is pleased. Yes, Jared. And Springer steps up to the plate and he takes one in the ribs. You don't think that's going to happen? First at
no,
bat
I don't.
Of the season?
I think that is bad form. And I think every so
it will
I think that, no, I don't think it will.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Well, who's he
There's
facing?
Too much. Oh wait, that, hold on. Are fans there? Are fans at the games?
Even better, no fans. They take care of business with no fans.
Yeah, I just guys. Think about it. So you're willing to depress your anger and your attitude towards these guys. After a month and a half, 2 months, whatever the hell it's going to be of being quarantined and not being able to work, and the first thing that's going to come to your mind is, oh, I remember, I owe this guy.
To a player? Yeah. It's the unwritten rule. The unwritten rule. He keeps it in his wallet. It's in a tiny little card, and it's hidden in the wallet. That's what baseball players do. But I disagree with Lou. I think right now would be the perfect time to do it. The reason not talking about the Astros is because contracting coronavirus is a lot worse than anything the Astros did, and it's on a priority list. And if they issued it today that the Red Sox were cheating, would we talk about it? We would, but the majority of society would not. If you wait until these games are played and then you suddenly release the story, it's going to be front and center, especially if coronavirus is in the rearview mirror.
You don't think sports shows outside this market who are looking for content, who don't have Tom Brady, who are sitting there and saying, God, what are we going to talk about today? Oh, Major League Baseball sent out a report in the Red Sox, and they were cheating. They're going to be suspended.
Sports shows are going to talk about it.
Yes.
But outside of sports, it won't get much.
No, it won't, because it's the severity is probably not going to be close to what the Astros. But it's going to be talked about more than it would if other things were going on in sports.
Yeah, but Lou, so look at it this way. So you spend the season is delayed. You finally come back, and let's throw egg at it. Let's throw a bunch of egg at the fact that we finally came back. And, oh, by the way, let me drop this on your lap. So not only are you're trying to celebrate a delayed opening day, but at the same time, let's just throw all this old baggage, right? Let's throw all their laundry into the street. No, get it over with now. Deal with it now. And then in the next week and a half, it's over. You won't have to even – I mean, if it's a week and a half – maybe it's a week and a half. Yeah, we'll do some interviews, have some people on. Who cares? Who freaking cares? Get it over with now. Be done with it.
Listen, I understand. I always felt like they were delaying it, and there was a reason why. And the reason why was because they wanted other stories to be out there. So because that Houston Astros story, when that thing broke, there was nothing going on. I mean, it was tail end of regular seasons. It was tail end of NHL, NBA, and you know, we're sort of waiting for the playoffs to come up. But it was just, I feel like it was that quiet time in sports. And they said, man, that's a bad time to drop this. This is what everybody's talking about. And now I think people are talking about coronavirus, of course. But any kind of sports programming will just bite on this. And they'll probably give it more attention and more time than they would if other things were going on right now, other than just coronavirus. Because this would be the one story in sports that people will talk about. NFL free agency is over. So now we're looking for the next thing. Everybody will be spending more time on it than they want.
The one thing I think we agree on is that they have already come to a decision. They have this investigative report. Now, there was a lawsuit last week. Was that a class action suit by fans or something like that?
Yeah, it was a gambling. Was that like a FanDuel thing?
Yes. Yeah. And in that, one of the lawyers actually kind of gave some information on what was going on with this thing, that basically Major League Baseball did not agree with the Boston Red Sox assessment. I don't know how much you can read into that, but I have no idea about this Pete Abe story right now, that they have not come to a conclusion. Makes no sense.
What else are they doing?
And the NFL hasn't come to a Deflategate too. They haven't come to a conclusion on that one. When it was Kraft Productions, they haven't come to a conclusion.
Well, yeah, what are they? I mean, again, what are they waiting for? Things that can be. Well, the NFL is trying to figure out what they're going to do about the draft. What are we going to do about the draft? Yeah. We're going to have it all in studio. That is going to be interesting because, I mean, it's in April. So if when is the draft anyways? It's April 24th or something like that, end of April, right? So if Trump is right and he wants to get back to normal by the 12th, is that what he said?
Easter, which I believe is the 12th.
Yeah, the 12th. He wants a new normal. Back, and so the draft is after that.
Yes.
Open up Vegas again.
So they're just using coronavirus to find the right time to drop everything. I mean,
I think Vegas is done.
You think anything's going to come out of this Patriots thing? Spygate 2?
No. They'll get a fine or something. They'll get a slap on the wrist because they violated the rules. See, getting back to putting fans out there, I don't think that's going to happen immediately. Matter of fact, you're already starting to see it now. And you start in Philadelphia, Lou was talking about it earlier, where the organization is trying to pay cuts to some of their people.
This was Adrian Wojnarowski's tweet. Members of the Sixers coaching staff and front office on contracts have until Thursday to agree to a 20% salary reduction, sources tell ESPN. Among many so far, there's apprehension on committing to giving money back, especially with the uncertainty surrounding employment futures. So the Sixers went to their coaching staff in front office and said, you got till Thursday to agree to a 20% salary reduction. My response would be, or what? What are you going to fire me? I'm the head coach, are you going to fire me? Like, we're paying the players, we're not going to pay me?
Yeah, they've already.
Or was this one of those, hey, we won't pay you anything, we're trying to give you a deal. Now the Sixers have obviously, one of the owners came out and they said it was a mistake. Yeah. They got to push back immediately, and that's not going to happen.
Oh, man, that was a mistake.
It was, we did it, and then we put our finger up in the air, and it said, oh, my God.
That's that desperate, you know, it's like all the situations that I'm dealing with in with friends and family and, you know, people, you know, canceling orders and closing up shop and, you know, just people just most of the people who are getting screwed are obviously the little guy, right? It's like the poop rolls downhill. The big Fortune 500 companies that have $1 billion worth of business are the ones that are screwing the little guys, and the big guys are the ones that can sustain it longer. Not the little guys.
Yeah, but
so
the
big guys needs to be more charitable and understanding. Yet, no, every man for themselves, forget it, not dealing with it. Yeah, that drives me nuts.
But don't you think Trump's getting a lot of heat right now? And we were talking about this earlier, but a lot of heat from a lot of these corporations who are sitting there saying, we're going to be in serious trouble if we have to sit out 6 to 8 months. You tell me, you don't think the NBA is going to take a major hit if they wipe out the rest of the season in the playoffs? How about the NHL? So how about Major League Baseball if they can't start until after the All-Star break? They may be the best protected of them all because they're at least going to get a half a season and their postseason in there, and maybe people will come back to the ballpark and use the tickets that they had in the first half of the season with empty seats in the second half of the season. But I don't think the sports is going to be able to deal with it, and I think you're already starting to hear it right now. If they start taking and dumping the salaries of these players, what do you think is going to happen?
So what was it? They guaranteed April 1st, but they didn't April 15th. Is that what I saw with the NBA players? There was no guarantees on April 15th check, but April 1st, they were good, they felt
so
like.
They have a clause in the contract that talks about national emergency, which we're under right now, and I'm not sure what the date is. But under a national emergency, the owners could start pulling contracts and sit there and say, sorry. Yeah. We can't pay you. Now, the one way you get out of it, and this is what I think they're going to do, I think we're going to see the NBA and the NHL resume their season, but you're going to do it without fans.
Well, I agree. I think you will see that, because the minute you start saying we're not paying the athletes, it's like anything else. The athletes are going to say, then what are we doing here?
Yep.
Can we play games with no fans? Because then you got the ad revenue. Right, billions of dollars in ad
money.
Revenue, TV
right.
money, yeah. coming back into the league. They can withstand some of that as well.
You know, but here's the thing, though. So, you know, we played Gronk, you know, doing his whole, you know, WWE, you know, intro yesterday. Was it yesterday?
Not play that again. Please.
And it was really lame because it was like no crowd and there was no effects and no crowd noise and no energy. Why couldn't the NBA do the exact same thing? You have coaches and players and trainers, and that's it. You have nobody else. And you just film the games. You black it out.
Well,
you
that's
black
what they were
the
planning
stands.
On doing before.
Well, they, could, we, they should, they
thing,
should still.
You know, escalated. That's what they were planning
my,
on doing.
My point
then a player
to you is that there's, they should be considered essential employees in my book. There's non-essential businesses and essential businesses. The NBA should be considered essential. They fly private. They go get on a bus and they go to a hotel. From the hotel, they go to the game. That's it. Or I just feel like that's the easiest fix. That's easy. I mean, hockey is you can do the same thing, but just more people. But with basketball, how many guys are you flying, Glenn? 24 people?
Yeah.
Coaches, probably trainers, 25, 30 probably staff. When you add everybody and staff. But the issue that you have with that is that you can test every one of them, and most of these
exactly.
NBA teams, if not all of them, have already been tested. So you know who's contagious and who isn't. But then how do those guys live their life every single day? So if they're around each other and nobody interacts
with
anybody
the
outside the group, right, you'd have
well,
to
well,
do
no,
that.
You do it. At least I did it in camp, but it was 5 weeks out of camp. These guys, they do this. This is what they do. You leave your family. You play these games. Regionalize it.
See, I think we're going to come down to that. We keep on talking about restaurant employees, and we were talking about them the other day, and Greg Hill doing a great job raising money for those employees, and Steve DiFilippo and Matt Light, and they're raising money for those people. You don't think that NBA players and NHL players aren't going to be bitching here in a couple of weeks if the league starts taking their paycheck away? Now, these are guys that clearly can still be okay in life, pretty comfortable with what they've got. But do you think they're going to accept that? Does anybody think they're going to accept it? I don't. And I think there's going to be pressure on the owners to try to do something and play these games without fans.
Yeah. Which is fine. Let's go. Mm-hmm.
And now I'm here in front of zero people.
Zero people.
I would tell you this, Christian. The zero people had nothing
it's
to do with
weird.
It. If he had 50,000 people, it still would have sounded forced. It would not have sounded right. All right, last call and some real gaffes by some people. We got that coming up next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier on WEEI. Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go. Good.
Last Call.
You know, it's really about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier.
And it's all sponsored by Cars for Kids. Help a child. Donate your car today. Call 877-CARS-4KIDS. Well, we got a few gaffes here. Some of them are what you expect, and others are a little bit stranger. So let's start with Joe Biden, the king of the gaffes. And this one, he's going through all of the help that the country is getting from various governors.
We can act quickly and we can do it together. We can put politics aside and meet the moment like governors all across this nation are doing. Governor Mike DeWine in Ohio, Governor Larry Hogan in Maryland, Governor Charlie Parker in Massachusetts, Gavin Newsom in California, Jay Inslee in Washington, hard hit.
Huh? Charlie who?
Governor Charlie Parker in Massachusetts.
Charlie Parker.
I thought it was like Peter Parker, Spider-Man.
Charlie Parker. See, I don't have as big a deal with him screwing up. I mean, it's like naming off a lot of governors. You know, there are 50 of them. It's not that easy.
Governor Charlie Parker in Massachusetts.
Charlie Parker is a Republican, so he's, you know, probably not getting worked up about it. Now, this next one, and when he's being interviewed about the discrepancy here in which Trump is throwing out what we need to do and how important the cure is versus the rest of society. This one is a gaffe.
This is Sarah Haynes. In Hot Topics, we talked about Trump saying the government would reassess the recommended period for keeping businesses shut and people at home. Are you at all concerned, as Trump said, that we cannot let the cure be worse than the problem itself?
We have to take care of the cure. That will make the problem worse no matter what.
What? Wait, say that again?
Take care of the cure? That'll make it worse?
Are you at all concerned, as Trump said, that we cannot let the cure be worse than the problem itself?
We have to take care of the cure. That will make the problem worse no matter what.
Oh, my God, I tell you what.
I'd be in a much better spot if he was president.
To get hurt and miss work, it won't hurt to miss work.
We have to take care of the cure. Make the problem worse no matter what. Oh,
okay. Do you guys remember the Kroft puppets? There was like old show where all the old presidents were
over.
Always fall. Okay. That's who Biden is to me. He's just so, like, just disconnected.
And you,
just,
know the, just, you know the thing.
The thing. He just seems like a nice guy. You want to sit down and have a beer with him, but, God, it is frightening. So Colin Cowherd is suddenly developing some of these gaffes that apparently we never recognized. But Funhouse now, back after this, is apparently picking up on all of them because he has set his targets away for Mike Francesa and all over Cowherd. So yesterday, Cowherd had his take on the Patriots, which was that now that he knows they're not going for Andy Dalton, he knows exactly what Bill Belichick is doing, and that is he's tanking for Trevor Lawrence. So Lou had him at, what, 5, 6, or 7 wins. I think Cowherd has him at, like, 2 or 3. But today's take on the New England Patriots is pretty dumb.
Yesterday, they released kicker Steven Gostkowski. He's arguably the second or third best kicker in NFL history. He's got years left to kick. Why would they do that? They also will not pursue Teddy Bridgewater, who I love, and Andy Dalton, who I don't, but both are far better than their current quarterbacks.
There's only one problem. There's only one problem. Teddy Bridgewater's already signed. He's the Carolina Panthers quarterback.
So he meant Cam Newton.
I think that's what he meant. I don't know. It's a gaffe. It's a gaffe.
But they also will not pursue Teddy Bridgewater, who I love. And
so he thinks they're tanky because they got rid of Gostkowski, who's hurt and may not be able to kick again.
Okay. Yes.
Makes sense to me.
So they're going to win like 2 or 3 games. Does anybody really believe? You could say whatever you want about Bill Belichick. Is there anybody out there that truly believes that Bill is going to tank the 2020 season? May end up, they really suck. But does anybody think on purpose?
No.
No.
Well, this is from Mike.
It's impossible.
This is from Mike Lombardi on that topic. He tweeted out, "Why would anyone in their right mind think or believe the Pats will tank? Being on lockdown has caused some to lose their thought process. That goes against everything the Pats believe. I don't think they're going to tank on purpose."
Yeah. Sorry, Michael changed memoirs. Michael changed his mind 2 days from now.
Can we get to my man down in Arkansas?
I love this guy. This is
the best sound I've heard all day.
We're all going a little wacky here. This has been an inconvenience for all of us, to say the least. But we got a parent in Arkansas who's really pissed off.
I can deal with the postman being. I can deal with RS and child support taking my motherfucking taxes. I can deal with this coronavirus that y'all got going on. I can deal with, I go with all the stores and ain't no tissue in this motherfucker. I can deal with y'all took all the baby wipes, all the hand wipes, all the sanitizer, all the alcohol. I can deal with all of that. I can deal with Trump being our president again. I can deal with me driving down the freeway and all 4 of my tires falling off my car. I can deal with all of that. But what I can't deal with and what I'm not going to put up with is Arkansas our school board that sent these kids home until the 30th. I ain't gonna deal with it. I can't put up with it. I'm gonna kill one of these kids. My kids can't stay home that long. Don't send them home with no homework. If you're gonna send them home with some goddamn food. Because we ain't got enough food around this bitch to last to the 30th. Send them home with some food. Don't send them home empty-handed. Fill up their backpack with food and send them home. Because I can't put up with them. From 7 to 3:45 is my vacation. That's the time that I get away from these badass kids of mine. That's why I sent them to you. It's your job to take care of them 7, 3, 4 to 5. It's your f-ing job. I don't ask you to come to my house at 9 o'clock and help me put them in the bed. So don't ask me to do your motherfucking job. Listen, send these kids back to school. We're going to wash their motherfucking hands and send them back to school. Everybody washing their motherfucking hands. Y'all doing this. Y'all wash your hands 50 times a day.
I just love that guy.
Oh.
I'm with him.
People feel the same pain.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, that guy's awesome.
I love that guy.
He's got a point, though. He's right.
He does have a point.
Yeah, I know.
It was nice the first couple days, wasn't it, having the kids around? And then after that,
I'm going to kill one of these kids.
Kill one of them. I'm going to kill one of them.
Does this mean the kids are going to have spring break? Are we allowing them to have that? That whole, I think we should just take that away. They should go to school during spring break if school goes back. I'm just going to say that now.
All the alcohol.
Oh, Jesus.
Is Mud in the house?
I'm here. I'm laughing because that's going to be all of us.
Well, with me driving down the freeway and out 4 of my tires falling off my car.
Lou Fourier and I in about 2 days.
Oh, my God.
We've tried, and I thank God. So, first of all, teachers should be paid a lot more money. Do we all agree at this point?
Yes. Yeah.
So, we've tried to do the scheduling at home, and the school's been great in sending home stuff for the kids to do. But
we ain't got enough food around this business.
Exactly. That's one issue. But the Netflix is right there and the YouTube is right there. It is very hard to homeschool. I'm just going to say that right now.
Yes.
It's not working out the way I thought it was going to.
Send them home with some food.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about our president, Donald Trump, who is right now, as we speak, again, reiterating Easter is the big day. He wants to everyone to be, want the country to be
go to church.
He's going to come out as one big bunny. That's what he's going to do on the big bunny.
It's the same thing. Like the Red Sox used to put like a timetable on an injury, and it's like don't do that. There's no need to do that. Let's wait till we get closer.
Chris will be fine in 2 weeks.
Remember Jacoby Ellsbury? Oh, he'll be back in 2 weeks. Yeah. He'll be back. Don't put a date on it, President. Don't put a date on it, Donald. So we'll get to that. We'll get to all things Brady, including Terry Bradshaw doubling down. On his take that he doesn't get quite what Tom Brady's doing and thinks it's about ego. We'll talk about that over the course of the next 4 hours or so.
All right. That's the time that I get away from these badass kids of mine.
I love that guy.
Guy's so right on. He really is. All right, we'll do it again tomorrow. And I need some help tomorrow because I'm running out of shows to watch on Netflix. So if somebody can help us out, we'll do some of that tomorrow. A lot more of this stuff, and who the hell knows. Thanks for being with us. Stay safe out there. Mutt Ed Night is next. We'll see you tomorrow, boys.
It's your job to take care of from 7 to 3:45. It's your f-ing job. I don't ask you to come to my house at 9 o'clock and help me put him in the bed.
I am absolutely done with this.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.